sometimes you're uncomfortable and you don't know if you should stay or go.
But you realize the discomfort may be part of the solution.
This is the Wayward Podcast. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello. Hi, Kim. Hi, Brianna Buckmaster. How are you?
I'm really great right now. And I have one word.
What?
Well, I have three words. Cake.
Cake.
Powers
Alara. And Alara, yeah. Brought us cake. This is the best podcast ever.
Yeah.
And we have blankets and chairs.
They brought us cake because I had mentioned we are currently in, where are we? Minneapolis, at the Minneapolis Convention. And I mentioned in the panel that you love a sheet cake. Not a shit cake, a sheet cake. And that, look at you go.
You're talking, I'm eating.
I know, I've got gum in my mouth. I'm not shaming the eating. I'm watching you in your joy.
I'm so happy with this.
Cake. Yeah, I can tell. That's what I'm talking about.
This is not.
And I'm just describing it for all the listeners right now.
I love me a
cake. You look like you're really, like, at peace right now. Real happy.
And I've got a system for eating the sheet cake.
Excuse me? Let's hear it.
A system. I like to eat the bottom layer first with whatever they put on the inside. And then I save the top layer with the frosting that's so sweet it makes your eyeballs want to scream and fall out of your head.
See, I don't like the frosting as much. I do enjoy the cake part because one of my favorite foods is muffins. Mm. Not a euphemism. I do love muffins. I like cake, but I don't love icing. There's a certain icing that I do like that my mom used to make when I was a kid, and I don't think I liked any. It's not a buttercream icing. I don't think I've liked any other icing since.
I think this is probably quote-unquote buttercream.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever seen any butter or possibly any dairy at all. I think it's probably hydrogenated vegetable oil cream. I don't fucking care.
But I do like the cakey part. I'll save you the icing roads if you want.
Ooh, that's sex talk.
Right? So, we have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah. We're also discussing...
Oh, yeah. That's yummy.
Isn't that good?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'm... Now I've been put in the wrong mental space to discuss this because we were asked, do you always or ever... It was a yes, no question. Anyway, the question that we are going to ponder today is when is removing yourself from a difficult situation the right thing to do and when is confronting the situation the right thing to do? And I think it's interesting that we picked that topic because you and I have very different styles.
Yeah, tell me. Because what I felt was like, oh, I feel like my answer now would be different than it was 5 years ago. Mm. But tell me how you think we have different styles.
Well, I think that I have a baseline that I am learning to overcome of automatically assuming I am the problem if I'm uncomfortable. I immediately think it's because I did something wrong. Either I did something to make that person respond in a way that makes me now feel unsafe or frightened, or I somehow, like if there's an uncomfortable situation, I don't deserve to be having the feelings about it that I'm having. Like, oh, you shouldn't be that sensitive. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you should just get over it. You should, whatever it is, I should be having a different reaction. So my confrontation style has historically been suck it up, blow it up.
Right, because then you're holding it in for so long that then it spills out of you.
Yes. And so I have never, this has changed recently with the help of my daughter, actually, I've never been a person who productively confronted. I am a person who reactively confronted. So I learned to step away from uncomfortable situations because there was no solution. I didn't know how to make it better. I just knew I hurt. And if I ran away from the hurt, then maybe it wouldn't hurt anymore. And that was the old me. What was the old you? We'll get to my...
Well, tell me what your perspective was. Because you said we have very different styles.
Oh, I think that...
Isn't it wonderful that you have a relationship with somebody where you can go, what do you think of me? What do you think I do? And feel totally safe with whatever the answer is?
I think that you're better at knowing, and this might be now, I'm looking at your style now, but I think you're much better than I am of going, no, that's not mine. That's not on me. I'm not the wrong one. I'm not the asshole in that you do not have to go on Reddit and be like, am I the asshole? You're very much like, I'm not the asshole here. Whereas I definitely have the tendency to be like, it's me, I'm the asshole, I'm the problem. So that's how I would say we are different. My first instinct is, it's my fault. Whereas I think you're much better at going, not my fault.
I think that's interesting because I wouldn't disagree with you. I would say that... Back in a version of me, which when I discuss versions of me that are not the same as the me now, I don't mean to shame who I was back then. So if you hear me talk about the old me, I don't mean the not so great me or the worse me. I just say the different
foundation for who I am now.
Exactly, exactly. So the old me, I think, would... have said, as you mentioned, that's not my stuff, in a way that was probably more fear-based than I would have let on. Meaning I wouldn't try to understand where it came from, but I would kind of be quick to go, no, fuck that. You know, it's not a me, and that is... You know, that's I think, you know, if you've ever heard anybody do impressions of me, that's kind of the gist of it. But that's a private joke. Well, it's not so private. But anyway, now I am not so quick to go, that's not my stuff. I'm more apt to go, I wonder what that's really about. And I might ask more questions. Or I might even ask, if I don't feel safe asking questions in the moment or to the person, I might ask other people, what is your perspective of that? People I trust, such as you, such as, you know, Victoria, or, you know, whoever else is in the dynamic that we're talking of. But what I do feel now is I feel more secure regardless. Does that make sense? I feel like if it's not my stuff, I feel okay. That's for them to work out. Also knowing that when it's not your stuff, this is another thing. When I knew it wasn't my stuff that needed to be fixed, I still didn't feel safe unless I solved the problem for the other person.
Yes.
And that is, I thought that was a very healed thing to do, is be like, no, I feel so secure. I want to make this other person feel secure so that then we're safe. But that's actually a very trauma bonding thing to do.
Absolutely. The idea that I need you, because that's interesting. That's where my brain was starting to go with this question of like, what does solution look like? Because my old habits are, discomfort is bad and must stop.
Totally.
So the goal became become comfortable. And I equated comfort with safety. I thought they were the same thing. Yeah. And so when this question was like, is it important to step away for your mental health? I'm like, well, that depends on if I'm stepping away for my mental health or my comfort. Because for so long, I equated you being okay with me as me feeling safe.
Absolutely.
And that really had to change. I had to learn to become okay with other people's discomfort. And interestingly enough, on the surface, at first I thought I was being selfish. At first I thought I was being uncaring. I thought like letting someone be uncomfortable and not doing everything I can to fix it, quote unquote, was being a bad friend and a bad love partner. And what I realized is that the first thing that started happening is I quit seeing people as broken so that I could fix them.
Yeah.
And just started going, oh, your experience doesn't scare me.
Also, their experience in going through whatever they're going through, when you help them through that, it's a disservice to them.
Well, no, this is just, that's the noise I make when I'm like, well, we're going to go someplace dark right now for a hot second. I really saw this starting, and I'm still getting good at it. I'm called to do this a lot, is be with people who are dying. Because so often, stay positive, think positive, you can't lose hope, denies someone the very real experience of saying, I'm fucking gonna die, and you won't let me be scared about it. You won't let me say I don't like it. You won't even let me say I'm dying because of your discomfort. And the more people who are in the process of dying, I'm around, but I'm like, I can't fix dying. I can't fix, and I can just be like, you tell me that. You don't scare me. I actually end up feeling safer. I end up feeling like I have something to offer because I'm not defining the problem as broken. I'm just validating the situation. And so that is definitely a situation where, like, my old programming would be, if you can't fix the situation and make them comfortable, absolutely, your mental health requires that you step away. And now, like, sometimes I'm last man left standing because I'm like, yeah, you're dying. I got you.
I think it's really important when you clarified the difference between stepping away from a situation for your mental health and stepping away from a situation for your comfort. I think some people in my life really rely on comfort in many different aspects of their life because it does, I'm sure, make them feel safe, or more accurately, make their nervous systems feel safe. And when you step away for a situation for comfort, they think, this is for my safety, I have no option. And that might be true. Like, who the fuck am I to say? No, you stay there and suffer, you know? But,
well, we'll come back to that.
Yes, yeah. But I think that there are, let's make a specific situation. Say there was a conflict in friendship. When you step away from a situation because of your mental health, that means that it's not helpful to stay. You feel like, so if I was in a conflict in a relationship, I'd be like, I'm stepping away because we're both activated right now and we will not reach resolution when we're both like wanting to fucking, when we're not listening because we just see red.
Well, and when solution looks like this is kind of moving into the other side of when it is time to go away. Like, if solution only looks like comfort, then I'm not going to learn what I need to learn. Then absolutely, always step away. Always walk away. Always. But often, like, I've learned this with my daughter. What is the solution here? Now, sometimes I'm so enraged, I'm not capable of doing anything. I just want to burn the house down. Well, I know there's no solution in there. So if I'm deregulated, I have to step away for my mental health and for staying out of jail purposes.
Ah, jail.
Fucking yeah. Jail. Jail.
Jail.
But there's other times when I have to, like recently, I've had a couple of different friends call me on being a bad friend.
Which is the, you know this, because you always tell me, and I'm like, that's nuts to me.
Well, but in both of these situations, they very rightly were like, you said you'd show up in a way that you have not. You said you would do this thing, and you didn't. Now, what would have been comfortable is to block their numbers and pretend they died.
I've done that once or twice, yes.
Yeah. That would have been comfortable.
Sure.
What was supremely uncomfortable was to listen to how my actions affected them and be able to go, yeah, I did that. I absolutely said I would show up for you and I didn't. So here's what I can own. Here's this part over here that actually is not, that's you making an assumption about my intentions, and that assumption is wrong. You can keep it if you want, but you're assuming it meant X, Y, and Z, and that's not true, but these actions are mine. And in both cases, on the other side of it, my mental health improved. Staying was for my mental health because I wasn't scared of these people anymore, and I no longer have relationships with these two women where I instinctively say what I think they want me to say and then just don't do it. Now I'm like, I'm actually not capable of that. This works for me better. How do you feel about that? And that to me means expanding my mental health. So sometimes I have to step away from my mental health. Sometimes my mental health depends on me standing there and being like,
hot. If you deal with the situation now, then you don't have to deal with it later and also deal with the anxiety of knowing you have to deal with it later. It's like that thing where everybody's like, I did the thing I've been putting off for 2 years. It took 20 minutes. It's like that. Like, it's worse to like wait for that thing to happen or to do that thing.
But on the other side, like what you said, I think it's also very important to recognize when a situation does not have solution. When the situation's solution, I used to say this all the time, I'm like, I spent my whole life playing this game called Kim Loses This Game. And I was baffled because I couldn't score any points and I kept losing. And the name of the fucking game is Kim Loses This Game.
Because there's also like, you have to account for the fact that, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. Other people aren't as healed as I am. Yeah, you can laugh. Because it's just a dumb thing. But in the very, very root of that statement is truth, which is some people, if you are aware enough, let's just say that, so I don't have to say how healed I am one more time, for fuck's sakes. If you are aware enough, self-aware enough to know that you are staying or going for reasons that truly serve you truly the best, but the other person is not able to do that thing, then what do you do?
Yeah. Well, there is a... When I say, what's the solution? There are people in this world. That was the sexiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I thought you'd like that.
I thought, way to fucking derail my mindset.
I thought you'd like that.
That was hot. And you're giving me your frosting? Okay, I'll marry you.
All right.
All right. I remembered though. Sometimes if you ask the other person, what is the solution right now? And they're honest, the solution is for you to hurt.
Because that's honestly, when people are mad, that's all they want. Some people have a history of feeling love through anger, and they don't feel loved unless I will own that when I was in my 20s, I used to say this all the time that I can't believe, because this would destroy me from the inside out now. I used to say that I wanted drama, or drama, as you call it in the United States, in my relationships, because I felt like if you're not fighting, you have nothing to fight for. So when I didn't have chaos in my romantic relationships, they felt empty. And I think there's a lot of that that still trickles over into, you know, my adulthood, but I'm smart enough to know what that's about now. There are some people who are not, once again, as healed as I am. Said I wasn't going to say it, but it's just so true. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. And hurting you feels like my solution. And in a situation like this, the only thing to do for your mental health, which is why, you know, it is, and it's super hard. Do you need me to open that for you? I let you do it this morning all by yourself. Here, hold on. Did you get, ow. Okay. Stupid fucking water bottles. I hate them. Jail, water bottles, sheet cake, the fuck.
What kind of water bottles are these in this jail? Can't even get the lid off. Oh, it's so hard here. And this cake?
Cake? Oh, God. I do crime. I will crime again to get this cake, though. This cake is worth criming.
Straight to cake jail. I want to go to cake jail where those hard water bottles are. Oh, I have a tummy ache now. It's not from the cake. It's from the pound of Brussels sprouts I ate before.
That was my fault.
No, I made us ordered them together. I just want everybody listening and for those in our audience to know that we ordered Brussels sprouts. We will get back to this conversation in a second. This is just us at the end of a day. I'm sorry. We ordered Brussels sprouts for our dinner. I ordered a salmon. Kim got a flatbread. And then there was Brussels sprouts with hot honey and a
blue cheese.
Blue cheese. That sounds great. They brought us a fucking pizza box full of Brussels sprouts.
It was like a number 15 on the Panda Express menu.
It was heavy. It weighed as much as a toddler.
Yeah.
We ate the shit out of it. Because Brussels sprouts are good for you, right? But every time somebody came into the green room, it smelled like farts.
So the best? Oh, my God, I just realized this.
What?
It was the band's green room. We stunk up the band's green room, finally.
That's why they had their panties in a knot. Everybody that walked in was like, oof. Oof, and Victoria had to keep saying, we're going to put them in a different garbage. Don't worry. And then we just started started offering Rich a bowl of farts if he wanted some of the bowl of farts. And then we started making jokes about farting in each other's mouths, and it went off the rails real fast. But
yeah.
Anyway, tummy ache is not from the cake.
Tummy ache is gone from the cake. I'm still going to eat your cake. Frosting. And okay, so wait, hold on a second. I can rewind. I back up to, we were discussing times when you have to,
You
do need to.
I don't know how you do that.
Remove.
I can barely remember my own name right now.
ADHD.
Oh, it's God. It's good.
When you get so used to like taking trains of thought that put you in different countries, you have to remember the stops so that you can get back to where you started.
I literally will do this. I will go. Now that I've realized I've also been diagnosed, I will go to a fridge going, I'm going to take a probiotic. I will open the fridge and I'll go, barbecue sauce. Do we need barbecue sauce? And then I'll go to check the cupboard going, no, we got barbecue sauce. And then I'll think that I came to the fridge or the kitchen just to check to see if we had barbecue sauce. So the fact that you can rewind from all of this and go, this is exactly what we were talking about, is just wizardry to me.
An adaptive skill that I've had to learn to survive in the world.
I think it's glorious, and I will keep you around forever.
Thank you.
You're like a jackknife in my pocket, baby.
That's right.
That's okay. What were we talking about?
We were talking about when you actually do need to extricate yourself from a
situation.
Because
somebody wants to continue.
Yeah.
That
where there's no, I think.
Great dynamic.
For me, there's a difference between solution and comfort. So solution to me is sustainable. Solution to me looks like growth. Solution to me looks like new skills. Like that was a big deal for me when I realized that I have a little toolkit And just because these are the tools that I have doesn't mean that they are the most effective tools. And I have to put some down to pick up some others in life. And that desire to learn to be a better person did not come naturally to me.
No, I don't think it does to anybody, unless you are raised in the perfect family. I can't imagine. You know how they're like with kids? You work really hard to not traumatize your kids. It's impossible. Somehow you're going to traumatize them.
I think Matt Cohen's kid has a chance.
Yeah, maybe.
I think his kid might.
But I mean, eventually that perfect upbringing is going to have to enter society, and then something's going to fuck them up.
Yeah. So when there is no solution, and weirdly, sometimes those are the hardest things for me to walk away from, because I can't admit that I don't have the power.
So here's a question. So here's a great example of you know, Kim and I were talking about kind of the differences of how we react to things. So in terms of solutions, we were commenting last night on how when we experience kind of when chaotic things happen to us, how differently we experience those or react to those, I should say. So I had a difficult travel day yesterday, and what I do is my nervous system will start to slowly shut down because I suppose I will preemptively get into fight or flight and then exhaust myself. And so,
well, you know, it's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn.
Yeah.
And you might just be moving into freeze.
Into freeze, yeah. Probably, because I'm known in conflict to stonewall or have. And I know that I do that, so I know that's the first step. Where you had mentioned that you, you know, spin upwards, or I spin downwards. So in terms of what were we just talking about? How was I
talking about solution and finding a solution to grow, getting away from, I'm sorry.
No, you're the winner.
I lost it.
This happens sometimes.
Mesdames et messieurs, s'il vous plaît, soyez prêts pour Aaron Chupa et Albatros. C'est parti.
Oh, I got it. It's hard to want to grow. It's very hard to be somebody who wants to grow. If we were actually doing the podcast, I'd rewind it and listen.
Yeah.
But I said it's very hard to want to grow and change. And you said, I think it is for everybody.
Yes, because I think that when you are in conflict, some of us might want to do what you would do, which is spin upwards. Some of us might want to spin downwards, which is shut down. What if you are too far past? Like your system is already in shutdown.
You're
mode.
Deregulated.
Yeah, and you can't, even if you know the right thing to do is to talk it through, but you've already shut down. Your system, even though your brain is going, let's talk this through, let's find a solution, you know that it's in the middle somewhere. No one's right, no one's wrong, but your system is already like, I'm out, I'm taxed, I'm done. Then walking away looks like you're stonewalling, and yet you really are walking away because you've got nothing left. And it's not because you're being a raging bitch. I mean, maybe sometimes, but not active, not consciously.
Yeah. I think walking away in pursuit of solution as opposed to walking away in avoidance of discomfort. Does that make sense? Like, when is it mental health to walk away? I think it's mental health to walk away when that's how you find a solution.
Yes, I guess that would solution, be the reason to walk away.
Be it, I intend to walk back again when I am more capable, or I intend to never walk back again because there is no way this environment I'm leaving will ever contain healthy growth for me. And that's hard too, because sometimes the situation I'm in feels safe and comfortable, but it's actually just sucking me into.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that was my relationship with alcohol. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That felt safe. Like, alcohol and drugs felt safe. And I didn't want to walk away. I didn't want to walk away from drugs and alcohol. I wanted to walk away from the consequences of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
I wanted to walk away from people being pissed that I was loaded. I wanted to walk away from, you know, not being able to get enough. And so going to a place where I was like, oh, this is much harder. This is much less comfortable. This feels much, but there was just jails, institutions, and death. But sometimes that comfy allure is so hard to get out of when the only chance you have for life is to get the fuck away.
And that is also, yeah, your entire physical, mental, emotional body is going, this is how we survive. We can't survive without this.
Yeah.
You are fooled into thinking you need to get away from this. This is how you stay alive.
Yeah, this isn't your problem. This is how you cope with all of your problems.
Can you think of a situation where you have not done what you wanted to do, what your best self should do of recent?
Yes. I'm in the middle of one of those situations right now where I'm just putting off an action. I'm procrastinating. I'm putting off an action that I know I need to take that I know will make someone upset. And so I'm just not doing it. And it feels like eating acid every time I think about it. And so what I've done is I've equated the action with this scary acid eating feeling in my stomach when I know it's the putting the action off that's causing the achy stomachy thing. Like, I know I have to take it. I know it's the right thing for me to do. I know it's right for me. And yet, little tiny mouse Kim is still like, but angry. I'm not ready yet. And so all of my loving friends, you included, you know what I'm talking about. I just want to be vague for this. All of my loving friends are like, you know, we all think you should do the thing. We all support you doing the thing. We all understand why you can't do the thing quite yet. So we love you. It's going to be uncomfortable till you do the thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do, but I'm not going to share it in a public situation.
Okay. I was hoping you'd give me a hint. So
it's
I go,
a business
oh.
thing.
Okay.
It's
I think
thing.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That. So it's more of a you're not doing a thing because it's scary.
Yeah.
As opposed to confronting someone.
Yes.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think of conversations that I can think of two instances, which will also be vague because some of these people you might know. Where I wouldn't say I was necessarily in conflict, but I could feel that do you ever have conversations with people and then you walk away from them? You're like, I should have said this, and then I should have said this, and then when they said that, I should have said this.
Yeah.
I do that while I'm talking to them, but I can feel my blood starting to boil, and then I just start going, and then I try to stay calm, and then I just start saying things that don't even make any sense because all I'm focusing on is staying calm. I need to get better at, in those cases, walking away.
Yeah.
Because I'm not walking away because they're right. I'm not walking away because necessarily because they pissed me off. I'm walking away because I can't have the conversation as my best self in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucking okay.
Yes. If I am capable of operating at a 10, I don't have to be in any situation, stay or go, that forces me into a 4.
I ain't no 4.
No, you're a 10, baby.
I'm a 10. You're a 10.
Do we solve the world's problems?
Always. Always do.
Awesome. I love you, Brianna Buckmaster.
I love you, Kim Rhodes.